Today we have a lesson. We have lesson 20, Ezekiel 10, verses 16 through 20. In the last lesson, Solomon laid down an important principle. Folly creates problems for those who commit it. So a wise person will stay away from folly. And we saw that it is the inclination of the heart that makes one wise or one foolish. Then Solomon began to apply the principle to four groups. And we've looked at three of those four groups. We've looked at the foolish ruler, foolish workers, and foolish talkers. Today, in Ecclesiastes 10, 16 through 20, we have the fourth group. Let's begin the study by reading those verses. Verse 16 says, "Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, and your princes feast in the morning." This is interesting. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, because Solomon himself felt that he was but a child when he came to the throne of Israel. Therefore, he wisely asked God for the wisdom to lead a great people. You can find that in 1 Kings 3, verses 7 through 9. And we also have here the fact that a child could refer to the king's age, but it also could refer to just general maturity. Then in verse 17, he says, "Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness." Solomon has already described foolish rulers. So what he's doing here now is to expose the folly of the officers or the officials who work under those rulers. You know, the bureaucrats who are part of the working of a kingdom or of a country. So then in 18 he says, "Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks." The preacher understood that a land was blessed with good, faithful leaders, but cursed under wicked and incompetent leaders. In the context of these verses, in verse 18, when he says, "Because of laziness, the building decays," he is suggesting that lazy, incompetent rulers bring down the great house of a nation. Then in verses 19 and 20, he says, "A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter." While Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18, pictures the fall of a nation, in verses 19 and 20, these verses give the reason for the fall. Leaders who are foolish, selfish, and concerned only for their own pleasure and good. When Solomon says a feast is made for laughter and wine makes merry, but money answers everything, he's speaking from the voice of a wicked, unwise king at that point. He has surrounded himself with officials who are incompetent, verse 18, indifferent, verse 19, and indiscreet, verse 20. The familiar saying, "A little bird told me," probably originated from verse 20. You can imagine a group of these officers having a private party, and instead of toasting the ruler, they're cursing and making light of him. They wouldn't do this if any of the ruler's friends were present, but they were sure the company there would faithfully keep the secret. But somebody told the king or ruler what was said, and this gave him reason to punish them or dismiss them from their offices. The officials did not respect the ruler and were indiscreet in their feelings. So you may be thinking, "Ruth, well, fine. This really doesn't apply to me because I'm not an official. I'm not in politics." But there's a lesson here for us. Even if we can't respect a person in office, we must respect the office. And this can be very difficult. Exodus 22, verse 28 says, and this is Moses speaking, saying what God had said, "You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people." You may say, well, that's just the Old Testament for Israel. Well, let's check out some New Testament scriptures. Romans 13, 1 through 7 says this, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." And then Peter, in 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17, says, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Here in the United States, many of us may feel our bureaucrats at every level are only in it for what they can get out of it, not what they can get accomplished for the benefit of the people they represent. And I'm sure this is true all over the world. And in the days in which we live, there are just so many things that we shake our heads at. While it's frustrating, we must keep in mind our God is sovereign. And it is God who raises up kings or rulers for countries. If we only look at things from an under-the-sun perspective like Solomon, we can lose hope and have no peace and joy in our hearts. But if we look at things from a heavenly perspective, we understand that this is not our home. Our true citizenship is in heaven, and behind everything that's going on in the world is a spiritual battle. Churches and believers need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Keep on keeping on for Jesus. Stay close to him. Do what God has called you to do. Be who God has called you to be. Keep your heart right. Be wise and stay away from folly. You can do this by the power of the Holy Spirit as you live out God's word. God never changes, and neither does his word. Live to please him, not man. Behold, he's coming quickly. This completes Solomon's review of his fourth argument that life is not worth living, even with the certainty of death. He has concluded that life is indeed worth living now. Before he thought not, but now he's decided it is, even though death is unavoidable and life is unpredictable. What we must do is avoid folly. That's really what chapter 10 was about, and live by the wisdom of God. This also concludes the second part of his discourse. He has reviewed the four arguments presented in chapters 1 and 2 and has decided that life is really worth living after all. The best we can do is to trust God, do our work, accept what God sends us, and enjoy each day of our lives to the glory of God. All that remains for the preacher is to conclude his discourse with a practical application, and this he does in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. He will bring together all the various strands of truth that he's woven into his sermon, and he'll show us what God expects us to do if we're to be satisfied. Now we are getting the best part of this discourse. I can't wait. The study notes for this lesson can be found at naomistable.com.